in Detroit, there are neighborhoods where most of the houses have been demolished. Along with knocking down long empty houses that are beyond repair, the city's been encouraging people to buy homes with an eye on making those parts of the city livable again. One couple decided to move from Brooklyn, New York, into an old Detroit house a few years ago. The project has become the subject of a book. Amy Heimerl of the MSU School of Journalism faculty is the author of Detroit Hustle, a memoir of life, love, and home. The home had been empty, save for occasional squatters, for about a decade, and it was falling apart. On Wednesday night, Heimerl will talk about the book at the Schuller Bookstore in the Meridian Mall. Earlier this summer, Scott Pohl visited the now-famous house in Detroit for a conversation.
Well, the first time I stood in this spot looking at it, the house was completely boarded up, and we had no idea what we were going to be walking into. It was a little overwhelming, and we would walk into a house that had no heating, no plumbing, no electrical. Basically needed to be completely rebuilt inside the existing walls. But when I stood back outside after finally touring the inside and seeing the devastation, I already knew I was in love.
See, lots of people would look at that and go, what have I done?
I think there were definitely moments once we bought the house where that was true. But at that time, standing out sort of in a spring bluster, a street light comes on, this giant white tomcat walks across the roof, and it just felt like all the signs were pointing toward home.
Why did a white tomcat tell you that you were home?
I don't know. It feels like I was just looking for signs. I think I just read Under the Tuscan Sun by Frances Mays, and she was looking for signs too, so maybe I'd been influenced.
Did your husband share this?
So he saw the tomcat, and he actually saw me out here standing and talking to the house that he named Matilda, saying, tell me if this is, do you want me to live here? Do you want us to do that? If so, say something now. And then the streetlight comes on, and he was just shaking his head, being like, there goes my wife.
Now, I know you call the house Matilda. Why do you call the house Matilda?
My husband, Carl, named the house that after the Tom Waits song, Waltzing Matilda, about sort of an aging old, woman who had great bones and great beauty that, he saw that in this house.
All right, well, let's describe the house. I see two floors and maybe an attic, sort of a third floor with some windows, red brick, and you've mentioned the devastation inside, and we'll learn more about that when we go in. What kind of shape was the outside in when you arrived here?
So mostly just like this. What we've had to fix on the exterior has been windows. So those were all boarded over. Now we actually have windows. And the roof had to be completely repaired. And sort of the roof line, one of the things we learned about was dentils, which if you look up at a lot of historic homes, they're the little square boxes at the roof line. We have 100 of them, and they all had to be recut out of cedar. Those are things you don't think about when you buy one of these properties.
Oh, my. Well, I'll tell you what. We will get lots of pictures and show them at WKAR.org for people who follow along with us. Let's go on inside. All right, here we are in your entryway, Amy. Tell me about this part of the house.
So this part of the house, we actually couldn't enter when we first bought it because the front door was sealed shut. Somebody had beaten apart the front door and then nailed it shut. So we didn't even have a door. We had to go through the back. All of this didn't have doors. We're standing in front of what is now a bathroom. Our contractors added that in. Historic trim out of a church. There was almost no original detail left to this historic house. But a church was scheduled for demolition here in Detroit, and we were able to get a lot of the wood and doors out of it. So what you're looking at right now is all that amazing historic woodwork out of an old 1880s church. So if you come through here, we're looking over to the left in what had been the coat closet and now is a built-in bookshelves. My contractor, Cal Garfield, and I both love books. And so one of the things he wanted to do in renovating this house is bring in a lot of bookshelves. And so this had water running through it. It was moldy. It was falling off the side of the house. And he's restored it and made it gorgeous built-in bookshelves that I'm very excited about. In this room, we have the kitchen and the dining room. This was originally about 5 small rooms. I couldn't even figure out where a refrigerator would go. So one of the few changes we made to the footprint of the house was opening up this space so we could really use it in the modern way with people gathering around this 9-foot island we have. And we have a lot of parties in here, and people love to just hang in this space. off of the kitchen, you see a sunroom where my husband's grand piano is. When we bought the house again, that was not going to be salvaged. It was so far gone. Again, water running through it, mold falling off the side of the house. The entire south wall actually was collapsing. So we had to rebuild the south wall. But in doing that, our contractors figured out a way to save the sun porch. And so now my husband's piano gets, you know, is in there and he gets to play.
You've mentioned on more than one occasion here now things that were really, really in bad shape or falling away from the house. Did anything ever actually have to be fully removed from the house in that regard, or were you able to salvage everything?
We were able to salvage everything. That was not something we expected, but in the process, we, you know, didn't actually lose anything.
This looks like a living room area.
This is the living room. So when we first saw this room, we actually couldn't see anything because it was boarded up. You know, it was just dark. I always thought this room was going to sort of be a dark den once we got it done. And then the windows came in, and it was a little shocking how much light was let in and how close to the street we were. So that was a beautiful surprise. The fireplace still needs to be redone. At some point it got singed, so you can see that it's black and needs some work, but that's in process. So I'd say the house is about 95% done, still some details to work on.
All right, so you wrote a book when the house work wasn't quite done yet.
Right, not quite done, but we're at the point where it's like painting, redoing the fireplace, just sort of small cosmetic things. Then we go upstairs. There was a bathroom, which we can look now. It's one of the few places where original detail, the floor was able to save. But where the bathtub was, actually was a giant hole to the basement. So there wasn't actually any plumbing. There wasn't a bathtub. There wasn't a toilet. There wasn't a sink anywhere in the house. So all of that had to be redone. All the fixtures had to be put in. We have a master suite. And so this is right above the kitchen. So just like we opened up the kitchen and dining room, this was also a warren of a bunch of tiny little rooms, including another kitchen and a bathroom. So we opened that up into a master suite. So those are the two big differences. And then above my husband's piano room, I have my work room.
We're talking with Amy Heimerl. Her new book is Detroit Hustle, A Memoir of Life, Love, and Home. Well, you have created a beautiful home, lots of natural lighting. We have to talk about a few things like the money involved.
Sure.
Let's start with what you paid for the house.
So we bought it in early 2013 for $35,000. So, and it is a 3,000 square foot brick home in a historic district that is actually on the National Register of Historic Places. So there's many neighborhoods in Detroit where you could buy something cheaper even than that. Most things still require a lot of work, just like this house. I think the price point at 35 was a little higher because of sort of being in a stable neighborhood like the West Village.
So you paid $35,000 for the house. Mm-hmm. Do you mind telling me how much more you have now spent on these renovations?
Sure. The total renovation cost has been about $400,000, which sounds like a lot. But if you were buying a house like this in any city in America, $400,000 would be a pretty stable market value. The challenge is, of course, that it's hard to get loans for that kind of money on a house that you buy for $35,000. The bank isn't inclined to give you loans. Fewer than 10% of homes in Detroit get mortgages. Most sales are all cash, and then the renovations are all cash.
I assume you've gotten to know your neighbors. I would be curious to know what your neighbors say about this house and the work you've had done on it.
They are so supportive and so thrilled, even when we had generators running from sunup to sundown for a year and a half because there was no electrical with which to use the power tools. They were thrilled to have the noise because it meant finally the house was coming back to life. You know, they were tired of having to mow the lawns and board it up and try to prevent squatters. So for them, it's been a huge just relief and to have us here and have this house brought back to life. We did a historic restoration, not just a Home Depot special renovation. We tried to rebuild this house for another 100 years. When we did get the appraised value on it, it was $300,000. So some people are concerned that we're $100,000 underwater. I look at it as in Brooklyn, we could never have afforded to buy. So by coming here, we got an amazing house, an amazing community, and our monthly carrying costs are still lower than they were there. So we come out ahead, and we're not trying to flip or sell this house. We're trying to live here until we're too old to make the stairs.
Amy Heimerl teaches journalism at Michigan State University, and she's the author of Detroit Hustle, A Memoir of Life, Love, and Home. Amy, thank you. Great meeting you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being here.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.
And on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Amy Heimerl talks about her book at the Meridian Mall, Schuler Books.